podcast, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Hope your bike ride, hope your gym session, hope your walking the dog is going well. Just want to say May 5th, upcoming soon, May 5th, I am dropping a very, very, very big project. Please check out all my social media, specifically Twitter and Instagram, where I'm pontificating, previewing, flirting, but I'll put it this way. Please make sure you go to GaryVaynerchuk.com and read the article about crypto wallets. Make sure that you have a MetaMask with at least one Ethereum, one ETH in your wallet, because this project is 100% built to make sure my OG community benefits from, and I will be spending the next 45 years to make sure that the investment you've made into the project is a fruitful one, not to mention the way I actually built it, what comes along with the NFT. So hope you check that out. Please be prepared. May 5th. If you don't have a half an ETH, you know, AKA $1,000, like start selling things in your basement, start selling some other things. May 5th, I'm telling you.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Marketing for the now, marketing for the now, marketing for the now, marketing for the now. 10 minutes, 12 remarkable guests for 2 hours answering a singular important question.
Are you ready, Gary?
What do you think?
Next up, we have the wonderful Jim Mollica. Jim is the first ever global CMO in Bose history and a 25-year vet in marketing, media, and digital commerce. Prior to Bose, Jim held senior executive roles for global corporations such as Under Armour, Viacom MTV Networks, The Walt Disney Company, Ralph Lauren, and Nissan. Welcome, Jim.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Andrea. How are you?
Good, Jim. I don't see you popping up just yet. I can hear you.
Let's see. Should be good.
Mm-mm. Team, do you guys see the same thing? I'm just eating blueberries and raspberries. I love hearing. Maybe we'll just do it with no visual since we're talking about audio. But let's see. Team, let's give it one more chance to see if we can get Jim on screen. Oh.
Let me try it again. Any help?
Nope. Do you see yourself on screen? Go ahead, Dustin.
My camera's on.
Hold on, breaking news. Dustin.
Yeah, like his video feed has frozen, but his audio is still coming through.
Can we try to reset him real quick? Maybe go with the next guest and get him back on right after?
Sounds good.
Love you, Jim. We'll see you in a second.
Next up, we have Ula Obermann, the global head of music at TikTok. Ula is responsible for negotiating music rights for TikTok and also driving the long-term strategy for music on the platform. Since Ula joined TikTok, the business has grown at pace globally. He's announced a series of new licensing deals and partnerships and placed music at the heart of its future and strategy. Welcome, Ula.
Ula, how are you?
I'm great, Gary. How are you?
Very well, my friend. Thank you so much for being on.
No, pleasure. I love the conversation so far. Very exciting stuff.
When let's just jump on that. When you hear the things that everyone was saying, Ula, about, you know, if you're winning on TikTok, you're now, you know, in the top 100 songs, top 10 songs. Is that just humbling? Is that like fascinating? You've been in the game a long time. You know, it's just so black and white, and it's all of a sudden overnight, you're in this incredible power position, which comes with big responsibility. How are you calibrating the fact that you're getting these probably silly questions from labels and artists of like, hey, can you make my song go viral? Like, you know, all that silliness that comes along with the responsibility.
Yeah. Do you know what? We talk about this all the time. I think the culture at TikTok and the team that we're putting together that works on music, we're obsessed with music. We're really passionate about music. We love the labels, we love the publishers, we love the artists, we love working with the industry. And I want to talk about this a little. You know, there's so many sides to how TikTok is working with those different parts of the industry. And I think it can all coexist in a beautiful way. Like I pulled a little data sheet here that I want to share with you, because I think it epitomizes what's happening on TikTok in an incredible way. I looked at the top five songs from a creation standpoint globally for March, right? And let me read you these top five artists. Gibeon, Eliotto, Los Disos del Ritmo, Xylo, Stefflon Do. Do you know any of those? Right, exactly.
No, I'm obsessed in your world. So yes, but to your point, that's what's happening.
Yeah, right. Now look, that's happening. Those are literally tens of billions of creations in a month for those songs or those artists.
Yep.
And what I hope happens to every one of those artists is, you know, they do the distribution deal, they do the label deal, they get a publisher
whatever works for them, right? That's not your role.
Exactly. But I think it is our role and our responsibility to make sure that these artists get all the right tools and almost like all the education to some extent for how can they kind of optimize their chance of success, right? And again, going back to what I was saying at the beginning, like that is kind of the ethos of my team and all the music teams that we have around the world at TikTok. Like we're all building these relationships with these artists, many, many of whom we've never heard of before. And they're just breaking on TikTok. But then the other side to what those five I just read for you, you know, there are 20, 50, 100 major label signed artists who are breaking a new song on TikTok right now. And what we see happen is that song goes viral on TikTok and literally 24, 48 hours later, it's in the Spotify charts, it's in the Amazon charts, it's in the Apple Music charts. And that's beautiful, right? So it's the two sides of it. It's being this incredible marketing and promotion machine and you know, globally just amplifying music that the fans want to hear. And then it's also giving these unsigned, unknown artists from every corner of the world a chance to find their audience. And that's what I think, you know, it's incredibly invigorating. I mean, I've worked in music.
And I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your thought.
No.
I've worked in music. And yeah, please, sir.
You go and then I'll finish my thought.
And yeah. Sometimes the reason that song went to the moon was some teenager or some 40-year-old decided to dance to it because they stumbled on it. They, as a human in their house, did something creative that people liked. And that became the match. Right. That it, you know, what an incredible feeling for some people around the world right now who made the original piece of content with an unknown artist song that started, they didn't have a big audience, but somebody that did saw it, they decided to do something. And they're literally one of the reasons that this person's career changed.
Yeah. Right. So what I was going to say earlier kind of segues nicely into this. You know, I worked 25 years in major record labels, loved my time there, learned a ton, have lots of great friends who I'm in touch with every day. And obviously now we can talk about how do we help their artists on TikTok. But I also saw the reason I came to TikTok, I saw this thing changing before my eyes. And it's the power of UGC. It's the power of user generated content, you know, and it is the artist and the fan basically having a real time conversation with one another. And then this incredible creativity comes out of that, because think about the stories that get told on TikTok in 15, 30, 60 seconds and how music plays a role in telling those stories. Either it's the primary story or maybe it's the secondary story, but it's the story, right? And that's just exciting. That's what people connect to. That's what they get excited about. You know, and I think that's why we're having all the success. I've been listening all along, and like after Ryan's talk earlier, I was thinking to myself, you know, how cool is it going to be? He is going to continue to find artists on TikTok, and he's going to end up writing or producing a song with some artist again we never heard of before, and that artist is going to go to the top of the Billboard chart, you know, hopefully months after the fact, because that connection was made on TikTok because we were able to sort of unearth that really talented musician.
My friend, you as a human, what is your consumption on audio? You've established your enthusiasm for music as a person. You said we all are. So I'm just going to make that assumption. Take me into podcast land. And if you don't listen to a single podcast, that's awesome. Because I don't, for example. But I'm just curious, you as a consumer, where do you sit on audio consumption outside of music, if anywhere?
Yeah, I'm mostly still music. You know, I'm extremely passionate about music, and frankly, to some extent, it's my job. So I want to be on top of all these trends. I want to hear all this music. I love, you know, when the guys in Brazil tell me about something, or Korea or Japan, and I just want to be on top of that. But I have, I think, you know, maybe pandemic, lockdown, time for self-reflection, TED Talks, and sort of some of these educational or, you know, kind of personal growth type category. I've been getting into that, and I'm really enjoying it. So I'd say probably 90% music and maybe 10% that in the last handful of months.
For fun, to make everybody smile, because this is what happens a lot of time when progressive executives come to new platforms. If you can shoot it straight, I'm asking you for the real answer. The first time Musical.ly or TikTok hit your radar when you were not in the ecosystem, did you dismiss it? Did you think it was silly? Were you on it? Like, give me that journey. Yeah.
So this is, I love this question because I like kind of thinking back to this. Look, I was in these label jobs, and one of the beautiful things about being in this, as a global business development person for Warner, I was the chief executive officer for Warner. I was meeting with every digital music and music platform around the world, seeing if we wanted to do deals with them. So I had an incredible perspective, and along comes TikTok, or it was Douyin at the time, because TikTok hadn't launched. And I remember I was living in London, where I still live, visiting New York in our New York office, completely jet lagged, about 3 to 6 a.m. jet lagged, lying in bed, scrolling through these videos. Almost all the songs were in Mandarin or Chinese, but the videos and the sounds that I was hearing, I was completely obsessed. And the thing I thought to myself, I was like, music marketing is never going to be the same when you've got a thing like this that is just, you know, 15, 30, 60 second clips. It's basically the hook, just getting one hook after the next being kind of sent your way. And you have the power to scroll through if you don't want to listen, or you just let it do its thing. You sit back passively and hopefully you discover music. It was not a dismissal. It was a whole.
It was
shit.
The other way.
My mind is blown, and I love this thing. And then, you know, things happened, and here I am. So I'm very, very fortunate.
Oh, thank you for your time, my friend.
Yeah, great to see you. Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
So Gary, we're going to welcome back Jim Mollica, the CMO of Bose. Fingers crossed.
All right, here we go.
See, Jim.
Here we go.
Jim, I have the great knowledge of how handsome you are. So I have no way was I willing to do this without the world seeing that that face.
Yeah, killing me. You, I need you to remind my wife of that occasionally for me. Thank you, my friend. Thank you, my friend.
Jim, as I set up the question, and you can take it anywhere, Jim, the guy, Jim, the executive CMO at Bose. When we talk about future of music, audio, and Sonic in a 2021 and beyond world, what are the first hot takes?
All right, give me one chance. So first, you had Carry On. We're talking NBA. You know, no one loves the NBA more than I do. I gotta tell you, Clippers-Bucks. Clippers-Bucks.
We got
That's
it.
That's the way it's
documented.
Going.
Grind
deep teams with their chips on their shoulder. This is the year. So book
it.
Okay, hot takes for the future of audio in 2021. I don't know. Look, being sort of an amateur futurist on these things, a couple things that I think are interesting to me. I think this idea of podcasts, and Carrie brought this up, right, of the old storytelling around radio, that, you know, as you start to see these things like 3D audio, where people now are starting to think about audio and formats and storytelling, where you're moving your head and you're hearing, you know, elements from different directions, almost like like the difference between a movie and a stage production. I think there's can be some really incredible stories around that. I know people are playing with those things. I don't think it's ready for prime time, but I think it's another level of immersion and depth. Like, the thing that I really like about podcasts is how intimate it is, right? So I think that's interesting. And the other one that I think is really interesting is what you keep out, right? It's the noise that you keep out of your life, whether it's just distraction, stress, frustration, hearing loss. I think there's something around this, like, I don't know, soundscape that you're able to curate that is really interesting to me, to help you for, you know, whether it's meditation or sleep.
you know, you're fairly new into the role of CMO at Bose. You were at Under Armour prior to that. What was the best pleasant surprise? You know, you obviously go to Bose, you know, like we all have like, right, you have your kind of intuition, your curiosities, probably some reservations. What was the what was the most pleasant surprise when you walked into the four walls?
I could not believe the sense of passion and teamwork there was around the company. I got a sense because when I was going through the process with the other execs that I had met, but when you get down into the teams, there is such a commitment to audio. It's just like a singular focus on creating the most, you know, premium audio experience for people that just love music. That was just so real. It's something like, I don't know, more than half of the company are musicians. So that was the thing that was just shocking me.
How deep it went.
Yeah. I mean, it's look, you gravitate towards, you know, you gravitate towards your passion. And if you can work against one of your passions, and help bring that, you know, passion out for other people, like these, you know, there's just a real commitment which is amazing.
How's the team or the company thinking about podcasting, if at all? When I say that word in a Bose world, is there anything unique going on? Any clever things going on?
Well, I think it's too early to say, you know, unique or clever. I think, you know, I think there's a huge opportunity in podcasts with the growth of it to get more, you know, not the live reads or just being able to immerse yourself in the topics and really derive, you know, authenticity around the content. And for a company like Bose to not be deeply immersed in podcasts is a total miss because it's a different listening experience. It's interesting, you know, when you guys were just talking now, thinking about like music versus podcasts. Like I'm a huge music junkie, right? Follow my whole life on, you know, what records I bought at what time. But I'm super passionate about podcasts too. It's just a different listening experience, right? Like, you know, sometimes you go out for a run and you don't want to hear music, right? And sometimes you do. And I think there's a way that we can immerse ourselves in there, both from the standpoint of, you know, helping people, you know, achieve their passions and then just attaching ourselves to that kind of experience and making it better. The biggest issue I have with podcasts is sort of how do you actually, you know, feel that the investment spend is super accountable, right? Like, you know, at some point
you're saying this,
yeah, just from a return on objective, right? Like, you know, it's like, yeah, there's some goodness there. But it's not like you're match market testing or, you know,
I mean, I think it all depends on where you sit on sales versus branding, right? I mean, what's the return on objective when you put your logo on, you know, on a billboard or on a sports team jersey? You know, I think that's more of like, what's the conviction of the marketer inside?
Right. But at some point, right, you start questioning that, like, okay, we got to do both.
Yeah,
we got to
drive sales and brand. Always, by the way. Yeah, always. Two things. One, everyone's commenting on the fact that they think you have a great podcasting voice. So A, from the feedback of the consumer, you may want to consider to start one because you're winning people over this. By the way, quick shout out to Montas Da, who says, guys, don't be fooled. This is not live. Eat that shit, Montas Da. Jim, number two, everyone's asking what you're wearing. You know, what are you wearing?
These are the Bose Quiet Comfort earbuds. Incredible to block out noise and incredible sound. So
on that note, interesting question. Do you think you have a chance for explosion in business? Because I had a very weird meeting yesterday where we were talking about getting the office back up to speed. Mm-hmm. Me saying that either that when meetings are done, it's either Rooms or Zooms, no mix. That if we do meetings where half the room is in, see where I'm going? I will not approve meetings where eight people are there and three aren't there because we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff, right? So I coined it Rooms or Zooms, which then leads to a lot of people doing meetings at their desk, conference meetings with nine people, all who might be in the office or might not be. And then Marcus, my chief of staff, who's always keeps me in check, You know, people are like, do you have anybody who challenges you? I'm like, fucking Marcus doesn't let me get away with shit. You know, says, yeah, but you know what? Even around your office, Gary, people don't want to work there because it's a little loud and Zach Nadler from Vayner Speakers is talking.
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned and think, I'm like, wait a minute, we need to hit up Jim. And yes. Noise canceling is going to become fucking huge.
Totally. So two quick things on that. Number one, I totally agree with you. The worst meetings of the world where you have part of the team on Zoom and part of the team live. Because what happens is
garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage.
The people on Zoom completely disengaged. All right. And they're not brought into there. And
they're locked. And then you know what's going to happen? Then we're not going to take advantage of what we learned in COVID, which is to take advantage of these things.
Yeah.
Better work-life balance, better realities, better, like, I want to make it awesomer for my employees,
right.
But that means we have to go rooms or Zoom, no other way.
Totally. And look, also embrace some of the elements. I mean, there's been a lot of shit with COVID and, you know, it goes without saying, there's been some hard times about not being able to get together with people. And I think that's one of the reasons why I've gone so deep on podcasts is because it feels like I'm talking guys at the bar, right? Whether it's business or whether it's sports or whether it's music. So that's helped me. But one of the great things about podcasts right now, I'm looking over your head. I'm like, oh, it's a cool piece of art. That's really interesting. You get to know a little bit about somebody. Kid runs into a frame. Dog runs into a frame. There's some humanity there, which is kind of nice, right? You see a different dimension of people. These things around noise canceling, I think that there's an element of it just allows you to lock and load, right? And if you can lock and load and focus for brief periods of time, that it's really, really impactful. And then disengage for a bit and refresh yourself. So yeah, totally. I'll set you up. No worries.
Love it. Love you, Jim. Andrew, let's keep this moving. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, take care. We'll see you later.
Thanks, Jim. Next up, we have Microsoft's Amy Sirokas. Amy is the Director of Strategic Partnerships at Microsoft, where she connects artists to fans, serving up creative tech tools that help the world make, listen, and experience music. Amy has also helped showcase social causes of artists, giving them a broader platform to spark change and do good. Amy's advice to anyone starting their career is don't compromise on your perspective just because it's different than your coworkers. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's so nice to have you. I love that last statement. I am a buyer of that statement. Amy, let's get right into it because we've been running out of time with everybody because these 10-minute blasts, I want to get as much in. When I pose this question to you, what is the future of music, audio and or sonic branding in a 2021 world? How do you and Microsoft see that? What, or you even, Amy, as the human, not the executive, how do you take that in? What is this, what is this land in your mind and how?
Yeah, I think the interesting things that are exciting at Microsoft and for me are really thinking about what you guys have been talking about a little bit about the connection between the fans and the music artists and how the different kinds of experiences we're having, virtual mixed with physical, now is going to get interesting, and how people are thinking about expanding that connection point beyond when they can physically be together at a show. And obviously we've been exploring that space a lot in the last year, but in the total digital realm. So now as we start to blend, I think it's going to get really exciting. So that's what I'm really pumped about for the next year and beyond.
What do you think is going on? Have you actually, because we haven't touched on a lot of people, I keep seeing them ask it, sonic branding, the notion of a sound, you know, Xbox obviously does that extremely well. Is it something on your mind? Is it something you think about, or is that still a little bit off to the side while there's other things to be thinking about? Is that an emerging thing?
No, we definitely think about it a lot at Microsoft. We've had a history of really being considerate about our sonic branding, and that continues. When we think about the brand, we think about the voice, the look, and the sound. So I think that the team continues to dig into that and really consider how it comes to life across our products, our marketing, how we show up in the world in different ways. So it's exciting to be a piece of the puzzle in that, and think about that for a big brand like Microsoft with a lot of different products. So we do try to think about the connectedness there too, and sound so important. People know what it is when they hear a noise in the distance, right? So it's powerful.
In your role, in the filter of this question, what is top agenda right now?
I would say in my role, it's really thinking about how we can use technology in really innovative ways with artists. So okay. I try to do a lot of direct work with different artists and use our products and services and different Microsoft technologies, the whole toolbox that we have in different in unique ways. Sometimes pushing the product that was originally built for retail or banking or whatever it is, and taking it into a very creative space and trying to figure out how it can be used as a tool for artists' explorations and their expression. And that's a lot of fun. We get to push things around a little bit in ways that maybe weren't supposed to originally, but really helping the artists that we work with bring their vision to life, bring that crazy or, you know, innovative, wild idea in their mind to life and into something that their fans can experience or they can put out in the world and be doing something very unique, hopefully.
Amy, I also find that Microsoft has a really long like history with, you know, with music, yeah. Right? Is that outside your house?
That's my house.
Okay, yeah. Good. Are they tearing down a tree or like the neighbors renovating?
They're building things. It's Seattle. Oh, okay. They're building things everywhere.
I literally went on pause. I'm like, what's New York City doing now? Okay, no problem at all. I just wanted to triple check. Amy.
Sorry.
No worries at all. An incredible history of like music in a lot of ways too. What about, so obviously on the artist front, trying to do different partnerships and collaborations. What about on the podcast side? Like, you know, I don't feel like I have a great feel, and I'm kind of in the trenches. I don't have a great feel of the state of the union of Microsoft and podcasting. What's going on in your world on that front, if anything?
Yeah, I think, for me, I think it's an interesting area to explore kind of the things you were just talking about in terms of, you know, 3D audio and sonic experiences that can stretch into the podcast world that bring to life ways for people to interact or experience sound in really, really different, compelling ways. So we've been, you know, Windows has a sonic engine as part of the services, and we've been experimenting with that with different artists. We did a project with X Ambassadors actually that was a music video without video. So we really relied heavily on the idea of how spatialized audio could play into that kind of experience and paint a picture without a picture. And so we're really, you know, digging into that a bit and thinking about how that can play through into music experiences that also then would stretch into sort of the podcasting world and what could happen there. I think there's also really interesting bridges between what people are starting to experiment with audio podcasts having some kind of visual components and ways to experience them in different ways that obviously then needs a computer or a mixed reality device or something like that. So we're starting to, you know, kind of think about storytelling in those ways, which I think opens up lots of opportunities for the podcasting world.
And finally, what about Amy S., the actual human being, the non-executive? Where do you sit on podcasts and music? What are some of the things you're listening to and or some of your favorite all-time artists in music?
Oh, big questions there.
Yes, I'm dropping the bomb at the end here on you, Amy.
Podcasts that I've been enjoying. I really have enjoyed Michelle Obama's podcast. I love the humanity in that and learning about her and her friends and just opening up in that way. That's so, so great. I'd say, unfortunately, I probably am in the same boat of everybody else. I don't have tons of time to consume lots of podcasts, but music, I keep the music on all the time. All-time favorite band is the Pixies, hands down. my favorite current artists are Fontaine's DC. You haven't heard about them, out of Ireland, good rock kind of alt band.
The rock alt scene in general has a lot more momentum going on recently.
It
feels like that genre.
In my soothsaying, a few years ago now, it's probably been a few, at South by Southwest, there were a lot of bands wielding their guitars again, and it's happening. It's coming through now. So I miss getting together with people and seeing kind of what's up and coming in those kinds of environments and other, you know, conferences and festivals and things, because you kind of can see where the directionally different paths of the music genres are going, because there's anymore. They're all a big blend.
Are you jonesing to just get back to the real world, quote unquote?
Absolutely. I can't wait for Numos to reopen in Seattle. I think that we're all missing the small venues and the big festivals. So can't wait for it.
Amy, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Excited to bring up our next speaker, Troy Carter. Troy is the founder and CEO of Q&A, a tech and media company focused on powering the business of music via distribution, services, and data analytics. Before Q&A, Troy was the founder and CEO of Atom Factory, where he nurtured the careers of global superstars, including Lady Gaga and John Legend. Welcome, Troy.
Thanks for having me. Gary!
What's good, bro? It's good to see you.
It's good. Same here.
I'm really, really happy to see you. I'm very excited to pose this question. You've had a long career at being at the forefront of many of these things. What's your current take on where music is in 2021? And then I'll ask you a little bit about podcasting and sonic branding.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a real mindset shift into independence. You know, I think that sort of that mindset had been bubbling, but now I think we're seeing a significant amount of outside capital come into the music industry, but also you're seeing other tools that are starting to pop up. So I'm really bullish about the independent music space. And then also just looking at, you know, just the opportunities that blockchain is going to provide. I really feel like we're getting ready to hit this tipping point that's going to shift from sort of major label control to complete artist control, in a way that we saw the NBA take that shift from sort of being ownership control to player led. I think we're going to see something very similar in music.
Do you think that one day the players will have so much leverage in the NBA that they'll start their own league?
Absolutely. I think it's just a matter of time. I think
you know how big of a statement that is, though, right, Troy? Because absolutely. I think everybody who's listening right now can wrap their head around, oh, with NFTs and blockchain, they're going to, you know, these artists are going to not sign these bigger deals, and it's going to be managers or infrastructure or labels that adjust that will be partners in crime, but the economics will be different. You know, I've been on this.
I want to see those five guys play those five guys no matter what.
So listen, by the way, the reason I jumped in on this, and this may take up the entire talk, is I've been saying this for about 2 years. I've got videos on it. I get crazy emails like, you're an idiot. And I'm like, you don't understand what I think I'm seeing, which is, you said it, leverage tilts. Really the only leverage at this point that the ownership has is the places these games are played in, because they own a good majority of the venues, which I do not think is a big enough deal. Oh, by the way, because I'll go watch the 5-on-5 in Seton Hall's gym or the Garden. I'll watch it outside in the park and probably enjoy it more. Forget about them tomorrow. If the top 15 NBA players have this conversation, go find 15 billionaires. If LeBron's like, yo, Oprah, let's talk about this, and go in 50-50 where the billionaire puts up the money, all of a sudden the World Basketball Federation feels very real to me in a way that I don't think people see it. I do think people see it a little bit more with music, but I think 100% it's going to happen with the NBA over the next half century for sure, which is a long period of time. But I think it's going to happen.
it's actually a bit easier to do it in the NBA than music.
Correct. Go ahead.
And reason being is distribution for those 15 guys that you're talking about is pretty easy, because you know, whether you're a network, streaming service, whatever, you know, people are going to show up to watch them play. And in music, the issue is it's not 15 people, it's, you know, 70,000 songs a day that has to make their way through. So when you're sort of fighting for,
well, that the same analogy, look, there's 70,000 people that are playing. I play basketball every day too. There's, you know, to the same point, there's the superstars. If literally player number 49, the 49th best and most popular basketball player, hit up the next 20 guys underneath him and said, let's start a league, they'd be dead.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We need 1 through 15. That's where the tipping point is.
Absolutely.
Troy, when did blockchain and music opportunity, friction, innovation really click in your head in this last, forget about knowing about Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all things like this, but like, has it been in the last year, last 6 months, last 4 months where you're like, cause we all have these moments, right? I remember this late December, I'm like, oh, for like my NFT thesis. In the last 6 months, which is a year, I don't want to lead. I want to know where it was for you. When were you like, oh?
So I met with the founders of Audius probably two and a half years ago. And they were talking about, you know, this idea of a streaming service built on blockchain. And, you know, what they were talking about is sort of how can we go after the music industry? The music industry has the most complicated rights structure that you will ever see.
It's absurd. By the way, it's one of the reasons I never professionally got into music. Like, fuck that shit.
It is absurd, and it scares people off. And a lot of it is purposely opaque and designed in a way where you can keep the system the way the system is designed. But when you really, you know, peel back the layers on this, it should be much simpler. If Gary, if you and I make a song together, and we want to release it, it shouldn't be really complications around ownership. We did it together, right? And so when you look at, you know, how blockchain works, it was built for these particular situations. And when you look at being able to track and like royalties, things along those lines, direct relationships with fans, is really built for it. But when Audius talked about it, I just knew it wasn't ready for major labels and they wouldn't go anywhere near it. But where they were smart, they went after electronic music and dance music, where it was lower hanging fruit. And now I think I think artists have caught on through NFTs and kind of seeing what's happening in that space, and explaining it to them is much simpler now. They actually see it in action. So I feel like the next 3 years, we're really gonna see this accelerate.
I agree.
There's a lot in it. And the record labels, like the biggest thing that the record labels have always had is a big checkbook and sort of distribution. And when artists don't necessarily, when they feel like, hold on, I can make money off of this, I can get cash flow off of this, I can own my own audience, I got distribution.
It's over.
What do I need you for?
Period. Troy, what about podcasting for you? Are you a consumer? When you think about podcasting, how does that play in your head?
I still think we're early. You know, I was an early investor in Gimlet that sold to Spotify. So I invested in them probably 5 years ago. And as a space that I personally love as a consumer, but it's the worst consumer experience I've ever seen in terms of, you know, curation. So where at Spotify, they did an amazing job in terms of being able to figure out playlisting and discovery. And I feel like in podcasting, no one's gotten there yet. So I'm looking forward to a better consumer experience in the space, but nothing I love.
You're looking for from a standpoint of curation?
Yeah, and not so basically, the way it works right now is that where if in music, if I, they've done a really good job in music in terms of figuring out if I like a certain type of artist, I like a certain type of genre, I like a certain type of song, they made it easier for me to go through playlists and things like that to discover things in a very, very easy way. In podcasting, it might only be one episode that I like of a specific podcast, you know, and so just really being able to match a little better and make the flow a little better is the discovery is just not there for me yet.
Two rapid fires around audio. The Alexa or the Google Home in the house, do you use, and is it still just to play this song and a novelty item, or do you use it functionally? And then two, Clubhouse, Twitter Spaces, have you played? Hot takes on both before I let you out of here.
Big fan of Clubhouse and what they built. And I've been on it since early part of last year and just fell in love with the voyeurism of being able to bounce room to room. And I think it's going to be hard for other people to compete with what Clubhouse has built. So I like it a lot. And in terms of
the Alexa.
Alexa, I don't use either, by the way. No listening devices in my house.
Because you don't want them listening?
I don't want them listening.
And you believe that?
Absolutely.
That is an incredible way to end. Troy, I love you, bro. Have a good day.
All right.
Next up, we've got Noel Chestnut Whitmore. Noel has nearly two decades of experience in the music industry, working for some great brands in music, fashion, and entertainment, including Katy Perry, Rolex, Chanel, Coachella, Jay-Z, and Kanye's Watch the Throne Tour, and more. During the pandemic, Noel produced and directed Lion King, the musical, on Clubhouse. This went viral and led her to becoming the CMO of the Geo Jam. But let's let her tell the story. Welcome, Noel.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Noel. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I think a lot of people don't know that story, so I think a lot more should. So I'm going to let you tell that story like Andrea set us up. Take it away.
Sure. So I'm a 32-year-old CMO, former artist, multi-instrumentalist, multi-hyphenated creative, turned tech CMO. I had gotten furloughed from Golden Voice, had been working in the live experiential space for the past 12 years, and then got furloughed due to the pandemic, and then stumbled on this platform, this new platform, emerging platform called Clubhouse, where I had looked into building additional activations. I have an organization called More in Music where I host panel discussions and found this amazing user community, people who I've been able to connect with in an amazing way. And then through the serendipity of connecting with amazing people on the platform and hearing an amazing voice by the name of this gentleman named Chris Boogie, who literally sounds just like James Earl Jones, the idea of doing The Lion King came to mind, and in the spirit of bringing joy the day after Christmas, and literally had no idea what was going to be the outcome on the other side. And we trended number two nationwide under the NFL, breaking a bunch of records, broke the app two times. We did two performances of it. And then it literally created this new landscape of how people engage and utilize the audio space on that platform, because we had created a specific use case that was unique in the sense of we use audio, live instrumentation, imagery, interaction, engagement, and what I'm calling interactive podcasting, which is this sense of ways that people can interact and engage and use their imagination to build this reality that they see for themselves, as well as ways for consumers to engage in new ways. And then, I was connected to Sarah, who is the amazing CEO of GeoJam, who is a big fan of yours, by the way. Thank you. And she reached out to me on LinkedIn, saw that I was furloughed, and here I am, now the CMO of GeoJam, and super excited and so grateful to be here.
I mean, how often do you think about, my God, this very challenging global pandemic that had all these difficult things, literally the circumstances of that completely, completely changed the course of your life. You know, how do you think about serendipity and kind of being optimistic and kind of moving forward versus today, since you were just so impacted by it, versus who you are as a young lady prior to that? Does your perspective change on, oh, this is what happens when shit like this goes down?
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those things, like I have been asked this question because obviously my life has changed significantly. It's one of the beautiful things that when I took the moment to have the pause, the much necessary pause that was needed in my life to reflect and think about, how do I want to be intentional about how I move in this space? What are my core values? What do I care about? Who are the people that I care about? And as a person who is very moved by service of other people, it was one of those things where as this pandemic hit me, it was, I knew how to pivot and to shift into the things that allowed me to bring joy to not only myself and spark this new creativity, but also be in service of things that allow, which is what I'm super excited about with GeoJam, allow their favorite artists and fans to connect in ways that have never been done before. When I started in the live space, it was the joy that brought me, and when I did my first concert at 19, it was being able to create this level of escapism and being able to connect them with their favorite artists and completely remove any stress, any financial stuff that you may have been going through, anything that you have been dealing in the work environment, and creating, like I said, this escape and this experience that would ultimately allow for joy and just happiness and thankfulness. So that is literally what I've been doing my entire life, but I appreciated it at a whole nother level now because it affected me in a specific way that I had never affected me before, but it affected the world globally in a way where we had to make very intentional change as a community to how are we working and collaborating with one another, and how are we engaging and connecting on content, music, audio, and in a way that is safe, but also in a way that allows us to still have fun, which I'm all for having fun.
How does audio hit different than the written word or video, in your opinion?
In my personal opinion, yes. Audio allows for a unfiltered interpretation and expression of self, right? You have these, when you're dealing with some of these other platforms, you have to think about your appearance and how you physically show up. You have to think about how the audience is receiving the content, right? Which there's still some level of consumption and thinking about the consumer. However, you are, for my case and specifically for my story, it's like I am literally my authentic, vulnerable self. This is what you get. And this is, and if you like it, great. But the beautiful thing about audio is there's a bunch of communities and niche that you can find whatever you're looking for. And I think the beauty of what is happening right now, not only within the audio space, but within music as a whole, is that people are looking for more reasons and ways in which they can authentically, vulnerably.
Do you, I'm sorry to interrupt. Do you believe that the video support to the audio is leading people in such an aggressive way that just the audio has, on the consumer side, allows for them to have a more imaginative and potentially open portal to the consumption of the information?
For sure. And I think it sparks a childlike imagination that I think we all like. I think the beautiful thing with what happened with Lion King is obviously that is such a classic. That's an iconic movie. And through though we had the visual representation and we had utilized the PTR, the changing of the imagery, to as a narrative for people to be able to have some sort of visual reference, you had to use your imagination as a form of building this narrative in your head while we were also painting this picture utilizing audio.
What about your own podcast or Alexa skills or your current Clubhouse navigation? You, the human being, not the executive, what's your consumption these days?
I am a content creator, not only on that platform, but also on the platform which I work for, which is GeoJam. I think the beautiful thing that I see about music, and whether it's audio in the podcast form or music in from like a consumption of like songs from your favorite artists or an independent artist, I think the beauty of this platform and all these platforms is it allows for communities to be built. It allows for sharing of music that you may be familiar with and music that you may not be familiar with, as well as discovery. And then more importantly, what I think is super exciting about what we're doing at GeoJam is we're allowing for fans and artists to be connected directly. We're putting a fan on a private jet this Wednesday with 24K Golden, and they're they're going to be able to safely interact and engage with an artist in a way that they've never been able to do before. That's usually something that would cost an amazing amount of money, where through the partnership that we have with him, his team, and through the through line that is music, which is how fans are able to build this level of engagement and excitement about this artist, we're creating an intimate interaction that they are not able to get anywhere else.
I love it. You were fantastic. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
So excited to welcome our last speaker, Corey Marchisotto, CMO of Elf Cosmetics. We had to bring Corey back to talk about the elfing amazing things she's doing in the music space. Elf Cosmetics has caught the attention of millions through catchy music tunes, artist partnerships, events, and platforms like TikTok and Triller. Corey continues to show the world that anything is elfing possible. Welcome back, Corey.
Corey, did you make Andrea write that last line?
I did. I have to tell you, though, Andrea has been using elfisms on her own since the last time I was here. She actually sends me her own elfism. So,
Andrea, by the way, your photos behind you are fucking amazing.
They are pretty killer. I was pushed down into the basement. I'm in my husband's band room, and he happens to have all these rock stars. So I thought, all right, it's not so bad today, right?
That makes sense.
Right, take it away.
Corey, great to see you.
Great to see you too. Happy to be here.
Thank you. So let's just get right into the elfing possible of, you know, how has this incredibly progressive marketing engine behind this brand leveraged audio and music?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is audio is fundamental. And I think on the road ahead, what you're going to see with audio is that it's going to be woven into the fabric of brand building. It has to be, right? And the way that this really happened at Elf and how we shifted it into the mindset, into the fabric, is we caught lightning in a bottle with our hashtag Eyes, Lips, Face Challenge on TikTok. And overnight, we moved from being a beauty company to a global music sensation. And what I wanted to do is say, hold on a minute, let's not rear view mirror that postmortem it, take it as a success and move on. Let's translate this into more successes and find more ways to continue to make that magic happen, where we can be at this incredible intersection between the power of music and the power of self-expression, which is what we do through the beauty products we create. So since that moment on TikTok, when we really challenged ourselves to plunge further into the music space, you know, we were hanging out with incredible people at Republic Records. We were interlaced with UMG. We found ourselves in a new community. And we decided to plunge into Triller and become the first beauty brand to do a campaign there. And we know what everybody's doing on Triller. Right? This is really a music platform that has democratized the art of music video creation. So we said, well, how do we play in this space? And we decided to drop a holiday album. So here we are, a beauty company dropping a holiday album with emerging artists. And the next thing you know, we look at the Billboard Triller charts and it's Mariah Carey, J-Lo, Megan Thee Stallion, and Elf Cosmetics. So it was just this incredible moment where we said, okay, we caught lightning in a bottle again. There's really magic happening here at the intersection of imagination, self-expression, ways to experience that.
Do you feel that you and the team are just really over-executing on the attention and culture graph?
I think so.
100%. You know, because when I look at the macro, I know this is a little side question, but I'm like, a little bit curious my own damn self. Like, you know, like it's so obvious what you're doing since I've lived that life for the last 15 years. Like, you know, this is obviously one component of that, but would you say if we're leveling it up, because we have a lot of marketers watching at a higher level, whether it's music, whether it's TikTok, whether it's dancing, whether it's video, whether it's gaming, your North Star right now is where is the underpriced culture and attention? And can we authentically go in there and navigate and be creative and contextual to that environment, correct?
100,000% and incredibly well said. The starting point though on that journey is really important because everything's a starting block. The starting block is as individual employees, think beyond your role. You also have to think beyond your brand. And what I would add to that is think beyond your industry. So as you know, we love elfisms. I love to say elf the rules. Where does the magic happen? The magic happens when you
Corey, I like to say fuck. I like to say fuck the rules. I don't know if you know this.
Right now you're gonna say elf the rules.
I'm gonna say fuck the rules, but I'm gonna support and cheer for your version of elf the rules. Go ahead.
So that magic is when you paint outside the lines. So I would say that's the starting block, is just get rid of the borders and the boundaries. The second part is this mindset around you're not here to sell product. You get that out of your head, right? What is it that we're trying to do? Create an orbit that people want to be a part of. So what I like to say is that e.l.f. is an entertainment company that also makes makeup and skincare. And when you have 10 million people showing up on your doorstep every day or coming to your platforms, you have to be dynamic. You have to be multifaceted. You have to create something people not only want to come to the first time, but want to come back to time and time again. And I would say the third part, right? So now that you're at these magical intersections, you've created this orbit that people want to be a part of. The third part is to really think about your marketing levers as seduction. So I like to say marketing is the seduction part, commerce is the sex. Well, guess what? You can't get to sex without seduction first. So if you think about it like dating, you're not going to get very far if you take somebody to the movies every single night, right? No, one night it's the movies, one night it's a restaurant, one night it's a concert. It's the ability to seduce multiple senses. And for me, audio has to play a critical part of that, right? It's sight, it's touch, it's sound.
Will NFTs be taking someone to the museum for a little culture?
I think NFTs, I actually listened to your Clubhouse last night on NFTs. I think it's a super fascinating space that is really going to be here for a long time. And a lot of brands like TikTok, right? People were afraid of it. What do I do with it? How do I plunge in? I think a year from now, nobody's asking that question anymore. They're playing.
Core, let's go into you, the person. What is your podcast, music, audio experience? We can even add Clubhouse and even Alexa and Google Home if there's anything there. Give us the breakdown of the state of the union of how you roll as the human, not the elf executive.
Yeah, so the way I roll is first thing I do when I wake up is I listen to podcasts when I get ready in the morning.
Really?
And I do. I love podcasts. I just, you know, heard, I think it was two people before this one, not loving the discovery experience. I totally agree. I think the search engine and the discovery on podcasts is just, I don't know why nobody.
And what are you doing? Spotify or Apple or something else?
I do Apple. And I do Spotify. Yep. I do both, but I have my trifecta in the morning, which is the daily. And then I go into What a Day, because I feel like that's the news with a shot of tequila. And I need that because after the daily, I need a shot of tequila. And then I, you know, if I have enough time, NPR, and then obviously Kara Swisher and Scott Galloway, I'm completely obsessed. I know you had Kara this morning. So I take that in the 2 days a week that there. So that's how I get ready. I'm doing my makeup. I'm listening to these podcasts. So I've already got all that in my head. And then I go about my day. And then the other ways in which I'm playing with voice, I mean, I've got Spotify music on all day. So that's in the background. And I'm changing that according to what meeting am I going into. I feel like now that I'm working from home, I change it according to my moods.
Are you consuming more, less, or the same podcasts with COVID?
More. And then layer on Clubhouse, I didn't trade anything off to get there. So this is another more. This is an incremental add.
What lost during COVID from you?
probably time with my husband.
Great answer. I love the authenticity. That was elfing funny.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I find Clubhouse to be a fascinating experience because it's as if I was listening to Pivot with Scott and Kara, and now I can actually jump in and ask a question and engage with them live. And that's something that obviously didn't exist. I think Clubhouse right. did a great job finding the white space. What'll be interesting from here is now that everybody else is going to put that
feature
technology on that their yeah. platforms, who's going where and what is that yeah. going to look like?
I think, it, you know, I think we just went through it with Snapchat. Snapchat found the white space.
Yep.
Everybody created the feature and Clubhouse, excuse me, Snapchat innovated and still was the core place along with Instagram stories for that. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Clubhouse. It's going to be on Clubhouse to need to innovate. You know, I don't think Instagram's multiple people thing is video thing is right. I do think Spaces for Twitter is. I do think Facebook Inc. follows it literally. And we'll find out. Corey, it's really great to see you again. I love
you too.
Is that a scarf? What is that officially called? That's a scarf?
That's actually a scarf, yes.
Okay, good. I like your scarf.
Thank you. Great to see you, Gary. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, Gary. And thanks everybody for joining us. Did you know, Gary, we're taking Marketing for the Now on the road to Australia next?
I did not. Tell me.
So on April 28th, we're going to be interviewing six business leaders from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern on April 28th. Interestingly, it's April 29th in Australia. That's how it works, I guess. They're always a day ahead. So really
am I doing that?
You are doing that, Gary.
I'm doing that?
With Amy Bradshaw. Yes, you are. And then we've got our one-year anniversary episode on May 6th from 12 to 2 p.m. Eastern. And that's a surprise episode. So we'll be sharing a little bit more about that later.
Andrea, is the Australia episode an Australian market-centric
marketing right.
now?
Absolutely.
And I'm doing that.
You are with Amy Bradshaw.
With Amy Bradshaw.
You'll be ready.
My wonderful teammate in that market. All right, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. A lot of good stuff today. I hope you took away some good stuff. Please check out Marketing for the Now, MFTN @VaynerX.com to sign up and register. Make sure you miss none of these because I guess we're going global now. And we had some real great guests, Andrea Yun and team. Congratulations on that. I hope everybody enjoyed it and we will see you soon. You can catch me on Twitter, Gary VEE. I'll be going there shortly. See ya. Thank you, everyone.
See you soon.